Thank you, Courtney. I'm Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker at 9 minutes after 8 a.m. on your Monday, December the 30th, 2024, the eve of New Year's Eve. Courtney, do you believe there's a Bigfoot out there somewhere?
No. I wanted there to be, but no.
You wanted there to be, huh?
Yeah, I thought it would have been cool. But in this day and age of social media, he would have come out by now and had followers.
Yeah, and with all of the hunting cameras that people have posted now, all the satellite images that we have now, everyone carrying a phone everywhere they go, the whole idea that you can only get blurry images of the Sasquatch or the Bigfoot, to me, have just gone out the window. And it's purely just a myth at this point. There's no way there's this creature out there with all the DNA testing we have and everything else. There's never been a hair found anyway. But some people still believe that Bigfoot is real. And unfortunately, two men were so determined to prove it that they died trying over the weekend. Yeah, they went out into the wilderness in Washington State, and the 59 and 37-year-old were apparently not prepared for the harsh weather.
Yikes.
And died of what appears to be exposure, according to authorities up there. Their families became concerned when they didn't make it home in time for Christmas, and finally they have found their bodies. And it's just... to me, this pursuit of Bigfoot is something that I've never believed. The reports and the ideas that there's just this Sasquatch wandering around out there, whether it's the Rougarou or the Bigfoot or whatever you want to call it. But it has been something that's captivated people for generations.
Absolutely. You know, I hate that they lost their lives. Hopefully for them, you know, just kind of chasing the dream meant something, meant enough. You know, I don't know. But yeah, the whole thing, you know, the whole mystery of it, I really feel like this day and age, if there was something remotely close to that, we'd know by now.
Yeah, I just think that it's really silly to think that there's this elusive creature that we just cannot find. But if you are going to go in search of Bigfoot, please check the forecast first and make sure you are prepared. Thank you, Courtney. Well, you'll prepare us for whatever's going on in WWL traffic coming up in about 10 minutes. I'm Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker. Coming up here on WWL First News, we're going to learn more about the parade that will be making its way along the edge of the French Quarter tomorrow to usher in 2025. Barry Kern from Kern Studios and Mardi Gras World joins us coming up next here on WWL. We got details a little earlier this morning about the great fireworks show that's going to fly over the Mississippi River as midnight arrives tomorrow night, ushering in 2025. You can go to WWL.com for a link to download the music that will be coordinated to the fireworks show and listen to it on your phone as the fireworks fly over the mighty Mississippi as we welcome the new year. About 10 hours before that, there's going to be a parade along the riverfront. Barry Kern, CEO and president of Kern Studios and Mardi Gras World, joins us now to talk a little bit more about that and what has now been a continuing tradition of a New Year's Eve parade. Good morning. Happy New Year, Barry.
Hey, good morning.
So tell us about the parade and where folks should line up and what they should expect to see if they come on down to help New Year's Eve, help celebrate New Year's Eve in the French Quarter.
Well, the Sugar Bowl parade that's now been back for, I mean, almost 10 years now, it's really become a tradition, a game day or a pre-game tradition for the Sugar Bowl. The parade starts, we line up like a lot of the holiday type of parades, Caribou, Christmas parade. We line up down on Elysian Fields, and the parade goes through the side of the French Quarter along North Peters, Decatur, back to North Peters, and stops down at Canal Place. But the whole idea is to highlight the French Quarter, St. Louis Cathedral, to basically get all the fans that are downtown in the area, just kind of get everybody part of the excitement of Sugar Bowl. And it's an experience that if you don't get to go to the Sugar Bowl, you'll get to see the two team bands. There's floats for each university. We've got all the great different sponsors. And yeah, the Sugar Bowl is like Mardi Gras. It's an economic engine for our city.
No doubt. And this year being part of the college football playoff, the new 12-team playoff adds even a little more excitement because the teams that win in the Sugar Bowl go on to keep trying to compete for that national championship. So there should be a whole lot of fans from both teams in town, but plenty of room for locals to line up too and see what really is a great parade. It's a little different than Mardi Gras parades, but still a lot of fun, right?
Oh, no. So we have throws, specialty throws. Our Sugar Bowl New Year's Eve parade throws that'll be being thrown out. You'll get to see, like I said, the bands, the cheerleaders from the two universities, from Georgia and Notre Dame, will be on floats. Their bands, which those bands alone are something to see. Incredible, great college bands that will be playing along with great New Orleans bands and New Orleans groups that you would typically see. But it also gives all these fans from out of town a chance to understand what Mardi Gras is, because you're actually throwing stuff. And it is a parade experience like no other bowl game. And we're just happy that the Sugar Bowl, you know, does this for their fans and for the city of New Orleans.
Yeah, and portions of the parade are televised as well, which helps promote New Orleans and all the fun and festivities here. So that's a great thing. But they've got to line up really right there somewhere not far from Jackson Square, because this parade does not make it all the way to Canal Street, right?
Yeah, well, it actually ends at Canal Street. We line the parade up on Elysian Fields. We line up. The floats will be loaded, and then at 2 p.m., the parade kicks off. And it's not a long parade by New Orleans standards, but it literally, all of those fans and people that are, you know, that want to see it, it's just a lot of fun to that kind of excitement in the French Quarter, everybody in their game colors. And, you know, it's just, it really is one of those things that really makes the Sugar Bowl a unique bowl game experience compared to what you would get in other cities.
Barry Kern, anything else you want to tell us about the 2 p.m. New Year's Eve Sugar Bowl parade right there along the edge of the French Quarter?
No, I just think that locals get out with families. It's a lot of fun. Your kids will get a kick out of it, seeing the college bands. And, you know, again, like I said, just everybody be aware that the Sugar Bowl is an economic engine for our city, and it's very important for as a city that we support it.
And it won't be long till we'll be talking about Mardi Gras, because right after this, well, of course, we have 12th night here coming up the first week of January, but Mardi Gras a little later this year, so you got to wait a little longer to get to the Mardi Gras parades. Now, that gives you a little breather.
Yeah. Yeah, and we have a little thing called Super Bowl happening right in between. So it's going to be a fun couple of months.
And there is going to be a Super Bowl parade as well, huh?
Yeah, there is. And frankly, you know, again, focused on exactly what we did for the Sugar Bowl parade, the idea is to present it exactly the same. So Sugar Bowl parade really helped, you know, basically gets people excited for a game day experience, and I think that's what the NFL was looking for as well, and the host committee, to create something similar to what we do for the Sugar Bowl parade, which has really become a great tradition in our city.
All right, so we have the Sugar Bowl parade and the Super Bowl parade all before all of the Mardi Gras parades to look forward to. So a whole lot coming up to end 2024 and then launch into 2025. Barry Kern, Happy New Year, and thanks for joining us here on WWL.
Happy New Year.
Barry Kern, the president and CEO of Mardi Gras World and Kern Studios. I'm Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker. Let's get you updated on WWL traffic. You know, we're only 4 days away from the new Congress convening on Capitol Hill ahead of the presidential inauguration, and they have got a full load of legislation to contend with and consider. As future and past President Donald Trump has a lot of initiatives he really wants to kick off immediately after moving back into the White House. Coming up in the next half hour after the news, we're going to get Congress Majority Leader Metairie Representative Steve Scalise here to tell us what are the priorities for the new Congress and what do they think they can accomplish now that they will control the House, the Senate, and the White House once again. You're not going to want to miss this interview coming up in about 15 minutes with Steve Scalise here on WWL. Coming up in the news, hey, 96% of employers say they are giving year-end bonuses this year, despite the fact that the markets have gone sideways. We're not seeing growth in financial sectors, and there are a lot of question marks about the economy. Apparently, companies are feeling like they had a good enough year, or they feel like the future is bright enough that 96% of them are giving year-end bonuses. Is your company in that number? Have you gotten or do you expect to get a bonus from your boss as we head out of 2024 and into 2025? Gosh, I hope my boss is listening to this report and knows that if I don't get a year-end bonus, I'm amongst only 4%, or at least the company is amongst only 4% that don't give year-end bonuses. So I don't know if peer pressure works or not when it comes to such things, but it's worth a try, right? So listen up, coming up in the newscast in just a minute, we'll have a report about how the vast majority of companies are giving year-end bonuses. And text me on the Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text Line at 504-260-1870 and let me know if you expect to get or have already gotten a year-end bonus. Folks are texting us. We talked a little while ago about these two Bigfoot hunters that unfortunately died trying to find Bigfoot in Washington State this past week. Authorities saying that they were not prepared for the harsh conditions in the Washington State wilderness and could not survive as they were out looking for Bigfoot. Some people are texting us that they still believe that Bigfoot is a real thing, that there is a Sasquatch, a Rougarou, some elusive monster, for lack of a better word, out there that we just have not been able to, despite all of our technology, all of our cameras, all of our advanced DNA and everything else, have not been able to find. One person, though, texted us, I'm pretty sure it's tongue-in-cheek, but you never really know. Bigfoot only visits Earth on his schedule. Now, I've never heard anyone say that Bigfoot was an alien before. Something to ponder. It's news time on WWL. Thank you, Courtney. I'm Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker on this December 30th, 2024. Need something to smile about?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Have you seen the doorbell video from Florida of the dog that was missing for 9 days, came home on Christmas Eve, ran up to the door, and the German Shepherd pushed the Ring doorbell the family know she was back?
I love it. That does make me smile.
A Christmas miracle. They were doubting they would ever see their German Shepherd again. Now they're going to have her microchipped and spayed. Apparently, it was, well, that time for her, and she went out looking for a mate. We don't know if there will be puppies coming soon or not. But
did she make it before the plan B?
Athena is home. That's the good news. Thank you, Courtney. We'll check in with more traffic from you coming up in about 10 minutes here on WWL. Steve Scalise, the House Majority Leader, joins us with a big agenda on his hands to try and fulfill for incoming President Trump. Will find out what is leading the way for the Republicans as they control the House, the Senate, and the White House as the new Congress convenes in just 4 days. A preview from Congressman Steve Scalise of Metairie right after this. 8:44 on your Monday morning, just 2 days left in 2024. You got to be careful anymore. You blink and yet an entire year is gone. It'll be 2025 in just two more days. Don't forget to go to WWL.com and click the link to download the music that will accompany the fireworks show over the Mississippi River presented by the Crescent City Countdown Club at midnight tomorrow night as we usher in 2025. It's a fantastic collection of New Orleans, Louisiana, and music representing the teams in the Sugar Bowl that has been set perfectly to the pyrotechnics you will see flying over the Mississippi River at midnight as we usher in the new year. You can go to WWL.com and click the link to download that. We also told you earlier about the parade at 2 o'clock. A decade now they've been doing this, and if you haven't been to the New Year's Eve parade, it's a whole lot of fun to head down to the French Quarter and hang out and maybe catch the parade right there in front of Jackson Square where the TV cameras are and all the excitement, and then hang out for the afternoon and enjoy the French Quarter in downtown New Orleans until the show starts at 9 o'clock there at Jackson Square. The concert, and then at midnight we will have the celebration of the fireworks. All right. You know, in just a few days, 4 days to be exact, a new Congress will be sworn in ahead of the inauguration of President Donald Trump taking office next month. The man who will be overseeing the movement of legislation largely through the United States House of Representatives is the House Majority Leader and Metairie Congressman, Republican Steve Scalise, and he joins us now here on WWL. Congressman, I hope you had a very Merry Christmas and are looking forward to a Happy New Year.
Good morning, Dave. I did, and I hope you had a Merry Christmas, too. It's a lot to look forward to in 2025.
And that's why we wanted to talk to you, because with the new Congress being sworn in this coming Friday and getting ready for the inauguration again of President Donald Trump, we wanted to know, what is your focus now? Because we heard so much during the presidential and congressional campaigns about what the Republicans hoped to bring to the United States of America if you were able to capture the House, the Senate, and the White House, and you've done just that. So what tops your priorities for the new year and the new Congress and this new presidency of Donald Trump's?
Yeah, David, we put a lot of focus on that during the campaign, but also we put a lot of planning into what would happen if we did get the White House, Senate, and then hold the House. And of course, as you mentioned, we did. So, you know, my plans would be aggressively starting to focus on getting our economy back on track, to lower inflation, to lower energy costs, and to secure America's border. Those are front and center issues that we plan on focusing on right when we get to work Friday, and then hopefully delivering in a first 100-day agenda. We've laid out a pretty aggressive first 100 days starting on January 3rd and, you know, leading into when President Trump takes office on January 20th. And we've been working closely with President Trump and his transition team to be ready for that moment, but also months have been going into planning with the committee chairs, the people that will be getting these bills out of committee to ultimately get to the floor to move this agenda.
Can you give us a little more detail about how the Republicans hope to improve the economy? Because we're hearing conflicting information coming out of the Fed and from other corners about what the economic future can look like. What is it that you can do legislatively and in step with President Trump to make sure that we see those interest rates for borrowers coming down? We see that inflation ebbed and that we don't continue to see the massive inflation, and maybe so that the markets will be happy and we'll see growth in the new year.
Yeah, and then all of those things, if you go back 4 years ago, what really started it, Dave? And, you know, it was the spending that came out of Washington, a lot of it unnecessarily as a response to COVID. When COVID was starting to end, our economy was ready to take off, and yet government started passing these multi-trillion-dollar bills. All of it was debt-ridden. It wasn't like we had $1 trillion in the bank. It was all borrowed money. And as you're borrowing trillions of dollars, not even hundreds of billions, trillions of dollars, that money ultimately comes out of the economy and adds to inflation. So we started seeing in those first few years, you started seeing inflation starting to go up. And unfortunately, the Federal Reserve was calling this transitory. They missed the boat on recognizing that the inflation was real. And so they were delayed, and really what the Fed should do is, if you see inflation going up a little bit, you raise interest rates a little bit to temper down inflation. Well, the Fed didn't do any of that, and so what happened is inflation went out of control, and so then the Fed came behind and tried to make up for lost time by raising interest rates really high. And so you had this double storm of high inflation, so you go to the grocery store and you're paying 30% more for food that you were paying less for just a few years ago. And if you try to buy a home, all of a sudden you had, in essence, 0% interest rates, and it went up to 6, 7, 8%. in a short period of time. And Washington never really slowed down with that pace. Rules and regulations were coming out of Washington at a rapid pace that were hurting small businesses. That adds, by the way, to the cost. A lot of anti-American energy policies came out. We saw that, Dave, in South Louisiana, where you couldn't get permits to do certain things. LNG exports, they put a ban on LNG exports in the United States of America. That affected America's economy, but it surely affected South Louisiana. So all those things happened. And you're going to the pump and you're paying, instead of $2 a gallon, you're paying $3.50 a gallon. That's money coming out of your pocket when you're already paying more at the grocery store. So all of those things added up to a really bleak economy for most hardworking families. So what we want to do is reverse it by, number one, controlling spending in Washington. You're not going to see any more of these hundred billions of dollars of increases in spending. We're actually going to start reining it in. You see what Elon Musk and Vivek are doing with this Doge Commission. But you also are going to see better policies on American energy, for example. Producing more energy in America, which is going to lower costs, not just at the pump or when you pay your electricity bill. It's also going to have an impact when you go to the grocery store. We're going to secure America's border to bring some security. We're going to focus on tax reform, because right now, one of the uncertainties that you're starting to see in the markets is that if Congress takes no action by the end of next year, you'll have about a $4.5 trillion tax increase hit our economy. That would be devastating. And everybody would pay that, by the way. It's not, you know, some people say, oh, it's only going to be the millionaires and billionaires. This would affect every single family in America in the form of higher taxes. We want to stave that off, too. So we have a plan in that first 100 days to prevent the tax increase from happening as we're lowering inflation and interest rates. So a lot of those things have to happen all at the same time. You know, roughly in the first 3 to 6 months, I think you're going to see the bills pass Congress to do that. And the impact on the economy, I think, is going to be quick, because this economy still is in pretty good shape fundamentally, but the uncertainty is what's causing so many of the problems.
We're talking with Congressman Steve Scalise of Metairie, the Republican House Majority Leader, on what happens this Friday when the new Congress is sworn in, and then on January 20th when President Trump returns to the White House. Congressman, 8 years ago, this was, your party ran into some difficulties getting on the same page under President Trump's first presidency, and there were some splits in the grand old party. Do you anticipate being able to navigate that and avoid that from happening again this time, so we can see your agenda move smoothly through the House and the Senate and land on the president's desk without these kind of divisions amongst Republicans?
Yeah, Dave, and this is where we don't want history to repeat itself. And, you know, and I think your assessment was very accurate. 8 years ago, Trump came in as kind of this unknown. He was an outsider who surprised a lot of people when he won. But also, you know, he and the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, at the time, were not on the same page. And so we were split on kind of what the focus was going to be. Trump wanted to go in one direction on policy, and Speaker Ryan wanted to go in a different direction. And it really cost us the first, I'd say, the first 4 to 5 months of our majority, where we had the House, Senate, and White House, and yet we were not on the same page, and we burned months and months of very valuable time that we never got back. So I go back 8 months ago, you know, and kind of as the campaign was just heating up 8 months ago, I went to Mar-a-Lago and went and visited with President Trump to talk about how we could prevent this from happening again. And, you know, I've had a long-term relationship with President Trump, but, you know, you could tell he was in a good position to possibly win the White House, but it was no guarantee. And we had a real chance to win the Senate and hold the House. But again, none of it was guaranteed. But I wanted to start making plans to say, look, if we do get all three, let's not make the same mistakes again. So I wanted to lay out an agenda for President Trump to say, what things would you want to do in those first 100 days if we got there? And he liked a lot of the same things that we were looking at. He wanted to tweak a few things. And, you know, I went back and started talking to our committee chairman back then about how we could align what we wanted to accomplish with what President Trump wanted to accomplish. We still needed to go out and win the election, but at least we were starting to plan back in March and April of this year what we would do in January of 2025 if we were able to win in November. And we did. And we've talked about that on the campaign trail. And I do think that actually helped us win, Dave, is, you know, we actually had an agenda. We talked about those things on the campaign trail to build momentum, to build a mandate that led to Trump's historic victory where, you know, he literally ran the table in all seven swing states. I mean, I went and campaigned with President Trump in some of those swing states, and you could see the energy when we were talking about what we would do to get the country back on track and the very specific things that I just mentioned to you about energy production and border security and lowering inflation. And so now it's our time to deliver. We've got to go deliver for those hardworking families who are counting on us, but we're ready to go. We have a plan. We've been working for months on this, and none of it's going to be easy, but we didn't get to this place either by accident, you know, and there, you know, 4 years of bad decisions got us here. Now let's go make some really good decisions in these first few months to get us out of this mess.
Congressman Scalise, we look forward to your swearing in again coming up on Friday, January 3rd. And let's see this all come to fruition. You and Speaker Johnson and President Trump on the same page and the party moving the agenda that the American people voted for forward. And we'll be talking to you, I'm sure, throughout the process here on WWL. Have a wonderful and happy new year.
Happy New Year. God bless and good Tigers.
Congressman Steve Scalise here on WWL.